Hi, everybody. Good morning.
Hey, big news about next week's podcast, and that our deep dive, rather, is that Dave Rubin is going to be our guest, which is super exciting.
So fun.
Everybody knows Dave Rubin, right? If you don't know who Dave Rubin is, you should go look him up immediately. It's going to be really, really good. So make sure that if you're not already subscribed to the Chicks on the Right podcast, wherever you do your subscribing to podcasts, make sure to go and do that so that you get your notification when that drops, right? Because I think it'll be Wednesday. And so you want to be ready to be one of the first to hear it. You guys, I have an email from Lisa Hunter, and Lisa said, Chicks, I want to thank y'all for making Christmas shopping for my mom and mom-in-law easy this year. I went online, used code CHICKS, and got two pairs of Giza sheets for the price of one. My husband was even impressed and now wants his own set of sheets and new pillows. Every single year, I stress over what to get the two most important women in my life, but not this year. It's not even Thanksgiving yet. She wrote this on November 18th. And my shopping is done. Now I can enjoy the holidays without the stress. Thank you for helping me start my mornings. You help me keep informed and entertained. I love your show and your podcast. Keep up the awesome work. From Lisa Hunter.
That's really sweet.
Isn't that great? She knows what's up. She knows.
So you should totally go to MyPillow.com and get 40% off of the squeezy kitten fur technology slippers and the moccasins, because they're pretty awesome. But I'm very partial to the travel pillows. That's what I like giving people, because my daughter, we came home from an Austin Spurs game last night, which, by the way, she had to sing on the sidelines and not on the floor, because adults make these arbitrary COVID rules, which make zero sense. So when you drive an hour to an Austin Spurs game, kids have to sing, like, I don't know, 20 feet away from where they probably should be singing, because these adults make these stupid rules. And I had to explain to her, honey, this is because adults are dumb. They're dumber than boxes of rocks. This is why you're having to do this. Anyways, on the way home, we were coming home late, and I had my travel pillows in the car, so she can, like, this is what I always have these travel pillows in the car. I have two. They're leopard. Y'all saw them. I think a lot of you have seen them. They're great gifts. So give those. Those are great, great gifts to give at Christmas. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's a great gift. And of course, the slippers are moccasins because of the squeezy kitten fur technology. 40% off, you guys. MyPillow.com/chicks. Get yourself some today. Okay, lots and lots of stuff to get to. But first, do you remember when we got that sweet little drawing of Chicks from Lil B?
I do.
Remember? And we were like, I don't know if Lil B is a boy or a girl. I have no idea. Like, I did not know. So we were just sort of guessing. Lil B has sent us another little card.
God. Oh, my God.
So she says, keep going. And then it says, my mom loves you a lot, right? You rock. And then on the back, it says, wait a minute. It says, P.S. I'm a girl. I love her. Her name is Sophie.
Okay, so Sophie's a chick. She's a chick on the right.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Sophie B. Is that not the cutest thing you ever heard in your whole life?
I love the name Sophie, too. I love the name Sophie.
That's my mama's name.
I know. I know it is. And I love it.
Also, we got a shipment from Maria Aguilar in Cumberland, who the little thing from Amazon came. It says, Dear Daisy and Mock, I wanted to send y'all a little something. Thank you for making my weekday mornings bearable. The hubby, too, as he is forced to listen with me. And she sent Let's Go Brandon mugs.
Oh, I love it. Y'all know I love my coffee in the morning. Y'all know I'm sucking it down. You have to send a big package to me.
It's going to be a big package this time around.
You know I love big packages.
That's what she said.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
So, so great. Okay. I'm sorry that we have to kick off the show with something this ridiculous, but it is my favorite story of the day. It is so much more important than Alec Baldwin, than Joe Biden, than Pelosi, than anything else in the world.
I can't. Wait, what?
I'm just going to read you the headline. Okay. I have been laughing nonstop about this for like 24 hours. A woman on a Delta Airlines flight reportedly began to breastfeed her cat during a flight and refused to stop when confronted by the crew. And okay. It gets even worse because it was a hairless cat. It was one of those disgusting hairless cats. I am not making this up, you guys. True story.
And you know his name was like, I don't know. What was it? Like his name was Eugene or something.
Or like Luther.
Right, right. Like what? And you guys, what kind of... like, you know, whatery is this? What is it? What is it? Like, what's happening? What's going on with people? And so she refused. So what did they do? Did they like land the plane? What did they do?
Well, they didn't land it right away, but they apparently caught, like, there was the crew called down to the ground crew and said that we need a red coat, and a red coat are the elite airport customer service experts, according to Delta. And so they were like, we need a red coat to meet passenger so-and-so in seat 13A. She is breastfeeding a cat and will not put the cat back in its carrier when required. And so the flight attendant, this chick named Ainsley Elizabeth, she said on TikTok, she said, quote, this woman had one of those like hairless cats swaddled up in a blanket so it looked like a baby. Her shirt was up. She was trying to get the cat to latch on and would not put it back in the carrier. And the cat was screaming for its life.
Oh my God. Oh my God. So the cat never did latch on. The cat never actually breastfed.
I don't think so.
Sweet Jesus.
I cannot.
I mean, I can't. Like, what is, God, this is our world, you guys. This is our world. Again, though, this woman is out walking around and she votes. Like, this is our world.
Oh my God. I love this story beyond words.
I know you do. I know you do. You guys, she loves the freak shows. She loves them. She loves them. She lives for the freak shows.
I can't help it.
And you know what? Like, the thing is that she'll be able to fly. This woman will be able to probably fly again, you know?
I don't know. This might get her on the no-fly list. This seems a little egregious.
You think? I don't know. Somebody without a vaccine won't be able to fly. But this chick, it's like, oh, I mean, she breastfed a cat. I mean, it's probably fine. She can fly again. It's fine.
Well, because think about it. They probably don't have anywhere in any policies, do not breastfeed hairless cats on our flights.
Yeah. I mean, as long as it's to someplace like Portland or Seattle, she's fine.
No, she was flying from Syracuse, New York to Atlanta.
Really? Oh my God.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
We got to talk. Nancy Pelosi has had another malfunction. And as you recall.
Speaking of freak shows. Yeah.
I don't even know what she's talking about. I think it's about, I don't even know. I'm not going to try to hazard a guess because it's pointless. I'm just going to let you guys hear the malfunction. We can all try to figure out what she's saying after the fact. Are you ready?
Yeah, that's okay. Let's all decipher. Here we go.
So we have a bill in the House. It's the McGovern bill. It's a stronger bill than the. It's a bill that we could have freestanding, or a bill that is in the Eagle Act that is part of the Foreign Affairs Committee, Mr. Kendrick Meeks, Gregory Meeks, Bill, Kendrick, we're all very sad about losing Carrie Meek this week, so I referenced her son. But the chairman, Meeks' bill in the House, so we will have that. But you see, in a defense, in a bill, whether it's in the whatever that thing's called that they have in the Senate, or in a DOD bill, the Senate does not have the right to have a revenue or an appropriations matter.
What the hell just happened? Okay, so what did I just see there? Is there any context?
It's the Kendrick Meeks bill. Hello.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was supposed to know what that was. Good Lord, that woman is insane. She's insane.
Oh my God. It just, there's never enough of her. I love it when she freaks out like that. It's just like, you can see the wires.
The synapses are not firing. And like, she's like, everything's breaking down and melting down. It's just,
oh my God.
She's in charge, you guys. She's in charge. She is in charge.
She is in charge. We also have a very quick clip from Jen Psaki getting questioned by Peter Ducey about all the looting and this, what do they call the smash and grabs? Is that what they're calling these?
I guess.
Organized, yeah. Like gangs of people that just converge on a store. And
I just call it the cultural breakdown is what it is. It's just that we're devolving. That's what it's okay. Western civilization is crumbling as we're just watching it happen. It's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
It's fine, you guys.
Well, Psaki knows exactly where to place the blame for this happening. Take a listen.
Huge group of criminals organizes themselves and they want to go loot a store, a CVS, a Nordstrom, a Home Depot, until the shelves are clean. You think that's because of the pandemic?
I think a root cause in a lot of communities is the pandemic, yes. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. It's COVID. Everything is COVID. Everything is COVID. COVID. I mean, it's like, of course, got to blame it on that.
How is it COVID? It's not.
I know.
Why does she get to say things like that? And then no one else, like whoever was next, whatever their question originally was,
right.
They should have dropped that question and said, wait a minute, what did you just say?
Well, because they're all standing next to all the other ones in that whole sea of reporters are all like, they're all out there in this, you know, because they're not going to ask the right questions because they too are like, oh yeah, it's COVID, you guys.
Right. It's totally forcing people to loot Louis Vuitton stores.
Right. I mean, they need that to help the virus. They need the Gucci. Don't you know that Gucci helps the virus, Mark?
It's a new therapeutic.
God, that's great. I didn't know that. That's all. We all need Gucci and Louis Vuitton. Mm-hmm. Didn't you? Yeah.
I don't know why they don't just start prescribing them.
That'd be awesome. And it gives me wrinkles.
Well, you can't see those wrinkles because you use Genucel. And Genucel has just announced that they are keeping their 60% off their most popular package special through Christmas. This is like the best news ever.
Yeah, I love it, you guys. Like XV cream is the best. We call it fluff butter. But you know what makes it so special? It's proprietary. It was whipped up by a small town pharmacist in New Jersey for one of his customers. And I love that because it was like a small town thing. Genucel by Chamonix started in a local pharmacy in New Jersey. And it's now sold over 1 million products, which I love that so much. And it's not just women that get it. It's men and women, because once they try Genucel, they fall in love and they buy them again and again. It will get rid of your fine lines, your forehead wrinkles, your dark spots. And I am like living proof of that because I have major dark spots because I sleep like 4 hours a night because I'm in a cabin and I'm on a futon. And I will tell you, this stuff has saved my skin. So you guys have to try this stuff. It's the best stuff. Genucel has literally saved my skin. Just go to LOVEGENUCEL.com/chicks. Enter our special promo code chicks for an extra special holiday present. That's lovegenucel.com/chicks, and you will not be sorry.
60% off their most popular package. If you've been thinking that like maybe you want to gift this to somebody, do it, because you're not going to see prices like this last forever. So it's important to do it right now. Okay, so you guys, I did actually end up watching the Alec Baldwin thing.
Okay. I did not. So you can fill us in on some of the juicy details. I think the biggest thing that people are most concerned about and what we wanted an answer to was, how did he pull the trigger without pulling the trigger?
Yeah. So my husband was trying to explain this to me as well. Full disclosure, I do not know enough about this kind of gun to know how much of this is actually possible, but essentially what he said was he did not have his finger on the trigger. He was working with the cinematographer, who is obviously the person that got shot, and she was guiding him step by step to point the gun where she wanted him to point it, and also to cock it back as much as she wanted it to be cocked back. And then he kept saying, okay, now. And she was guiding him, right? And apparently he got it cocked back all the way till just before it actually clicks and holds in place. And then when she said, okay, I've got it, he released it. And he never pulled the trigger, but he did. He just let go, essentially. And that's when he says the gun went off. There was a live round in it. He has no idea why. And so that was one of the main takeaways. The other, of course, being that he feels no guilt, not a speck of guilt.
I mean, that is the craziest thing to me. I don't understand how, even if it was like a fluke thing. I mean, if he's in fact saying that it's a fluke thing and he didn't pull the trigger, I don't. Or even if it was somebody else that was standing next to him and it was on his set and he was responsible for the set and it was somebody else who pulled the trigger, which is not what happened, you'd still think that he would feel guilt. I'm astounded by that. Like, I can't believe that
it's amazing. The thing is that he kept saying in his 40 years plus of acting, he was taught from the very, very beginning that it's the armorist or the prop person who looks at the gun literally the second before he hands it over and says, it's a cold gun, you're good to go. And he has always been taught that it should never be the actor that's the last line of defense. But there are other actors like George Clooney who completely disagree. And they're like, you're the one that's going to be using it. You are the last line of defense. Of course you check it before you handle it. And so, you know, that's going to be up to the court of public opinion, I suppose. But now there's so many civil suits, and he doesn't believe he, even as a producer, is going to actually be liable because there's two different kinds of producers. He's the kind that just okays scripts and cast. The other kind, like the production producer, is who hires the crew, who determines the budget, who determines the protocols used on the set. So he believes that he's like not at all responsible.
I feel like this is the fact that he has zero guilt, which to me shows like he has zero remorse. The only thing he has remorse about is that this is all being pushed off on him. Like it was the worst day of, like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to him. Why is it the worst thing that ever happened to him then if he has no guilt? You see what I'm saying? Why is it? Because to me, when I saw that clip of him saying it's the worst thing that ever happened to him, then to me that shows before I didn't watch it. But to me, that signaled, okay, well, then he has a lot of guilt over it. But the fact that you're telling me that he has no guilt makes me think, okay, then why was it the worst thing that ever happened to you? Because it was because all of this stuff is being pushed off on you. It's all about you. What about her?
Well, he did say a couple of different times, I mean, to be fair, he said like right at the very beginning, I do not want this interview to be misinterpreted as me trying to claim victimhood. I am not the victim here. He said that a couple of different times. He said Helena Hutchins and the other guy who got also shot, like in the shoulder, the director guy, they are the ones that are the actual victims here. I am just here to try to explain what happened as far as I know it, because I was there and I want to be able to tell people this is exactly what happened. And so he did that. He said, obviously, I mean, he was very upset and emotional and he's angry and sad and all of those things. He just doesn't think that ultimately he's responsible. He feels like there's somebody else, whether it was the prop person or whoever else, is responsible for the bullet being there, for the bullet being in the gun. He absolves himself of the responsibility for that bullet being in the gun. And he was like, and I was literally following the woman who I shot. I was following her instructions to a T. She was telling me, pull this back. You know, she was saying as they were going through this process, do this, do this, do this. Is this far enough? No, a little bit further. So like he was just following her instructions. So, you know, there was parts of it when I was watching where I was like, I mean, obviously he didn't want this to happen. He was shocked, so shocked when the noise went. And then when she fell that he was like, what the hell was that? Did she pass out? Like he could not compute that it came out of the gun. Like he just could not compute it. So, you know, there were parts where I was like, I totally believe that. It's just that he does have a responsibility to check it before he uses it. That has to be a part of the protocols all the time. And why it wasn't for him, why it wasn't on the set, I don't know.
And bottom line is he shot her.
And she's dead.
And she's dead. Yeah. So, I mean, you can't dispute that. Like, there's no getting around that. I mean, it's, and a person was behind the mechanism, which is, again, like a conversation that we're having in the country, right? At this point, about many situations, there was a person behind that gun. It wasn't the gun that shot her, dude. It was you. And it wasn't malicious. You didn't do it on purpose, but it was a person. And there, I know there were a lot of things that were happening, but it was, you know, you were the one who ultimately, you say you didn't pull the trigger, but you were the one operating that gun.
Right. Yeah.
You know what? I am super excited to talk about AMAC today.
I know, best news ever, because like when we first learned about AMAC, it was for 50 plus, right? Like you had to be like kind of old like us.
Like a geezer like us, right?
Right. And now they've expanded their membership to include anybody at any age. This is amazeballs.
Really, really exciting, because I can actually get into the fold some of my older kids. They're going to be super excited about it because the benefits are amazing. But this is like huge news. I mean, because these are people that can be brought into the fight for, you know, conservative values and things that we believe in, and family and freedom and all those wonderful things that we believe in. And that's what AMAC believes in. And I'm so excited about this, that it's not just us geezers who are, you know, who are going to be on the AMAC bandwagon.
Now you can join 2.3 million of your BFFs and have an organization advocate for you. And you can find out all about it at amac.us/checks.
Do it today, you guys.
I do have another video to show you, and that is of Whoopi Goldberg, because, you know, right now the Supreme Court is weighing this Missouri abortion case. So that's obviously a huge, huge deal. And Whoopi Goldberg like had a complete weird meltdown yesterday about men talking about this, having an opinion about it. She is just not OK with men having an opinion, and she is going to let you know loudly. Here she goes.
Do any of you men have any eggs or the possibility of carrying a fetus? How dare you talk about what a fetus wants? You have no idea. I'm fine if you disagree with abortion. I have no problem with that. My problem comes when you tell me what I need to do with my doctor and my family. How dare you? How dare you?
So what the hell is going on right here? I get so distracted. Okay. Second of all, like, is what men is she talking about? Because, you know, they're always, I don't understand, because we're so skewed. I can't believe she even brought gender up in this discussion.
Well, the trans community is furious.
Oh, are they? Good. Good. Because, I mean, this is the thing with liberals. I mean, they get into these pretzels. I was wondering if they were going to be furious because, you know, she brings up the gender thing and it's like, why would you do that? Because you've alienated all the people who like identify as all the freaking things.
And she's the one she's been on board with the idea that men can have babies. So what's the problem?
What is the problem, Whoopi? I mean, it's like, are you okay with it or are you not okay with it? And I mean, this, God, these people are just...
Well, and there's two other problems, right? Like there's the point that she made about how dare anybody try to say what a fetus wants. Well, we were all fetuses. So I feel like we can all weigh in on that. So that's the second problem with her whole argument. But like also the fact that she's saying, I don't care if you don't like abortion, that's fine. Just don't tell me what to do with my body. Okay, well then now do vaccines. You have.
Right, do that. And also, you know, and it's not, it's that the other thing is not your body.
Right.
It's not your, it's a whole other body, because scientifically there's a whole other set of DNA. That's a whole other body. Again, science. You guys seem to want to follow the science. That's the freaking science. You know, this whole discussion is really interesting to me because they're freaking out. And all these women are like screaming and like carrying on because they're afraid that they're not going to be able to kill their babies anymore. They're like, oh my God, we're not going to be able to murder our babies anymore. It's so terrible. Like the Republicans and the conservatives are going to take away our right to murder our babies. This is so terrible. That's actually not going to happen if Roe v. Wade is overturned, right? It's just going to turn it over to the states. I wish people would like get a freaking clue, because that's what's going to happen if in fact it is overturned. Moreover, this was something that like came to be what in 73, 73, is that the year? All right, so a lot has happened medically and scientifically since 1973. We now know, I mean, think about it. Think about the medical advances that have happened since 1973, y'all. I mean, again, with the science, they always want to follow the science. Think of the fact, like all the things, like when it comes to learning about how babies in the womb can feel pain.
Right.
We know so much more. Think about the old, I mean, just think about ultrasounds. Like when I had my daughter, they only had 3D ultrasounds. They didn't even have 4D ultrasounds. Now they, I mean, that was only 11 years ago. Now they have what, 4D ultrasounds. I mean, it's like we advance so much every year from a scientific and a medical standpoint. I mean, we know so much more about how babies in the womb can feel pain. How can you dispute that? I just don't understand how these, like the Sotomayors can get up and say, oh, babies don't feel pain in the womb. Be please. Oh my God. You know, I mean, it's like they're looking at scientific stuff from 1973 and they're saying we can't change anything based on what we'd said or what the Supreme Court said in 1973. I just think it's absurd. Don't you think it's absurd?
Well, I mean, using a line of demarcation for viability is insane. It's insane because medical technologies advance all the time. And it's either a life or it's not. And we all started out that way. Whoopee. I can speak for fetuses because I was one. So we've gone way away from safe, legal, and rare. We've gone to, hey, abortions, woohoo!
Absolutely. As evidenced by, you know, those girls, you see those rabid liberal feminists who are out there screaming about how excited they are about killing their babies. Oh, yay.
And they were taking abortion pills. They were like, right. Abortion pills all day long, every day.
You're absolutely right. It's no longer about safe, you know, legal and rare, whatever it is. It's these women are rabid. I mean, they want to kill babies.
They're like bloodthirsty.
Yeah, they're freaking lunatics. Lunatics. I hope everybody has really, really wonderful plans for this weekend.
I'm going to get my tree.
You know, I'm so excited for you. I'm going to live vicariously through you, although I do have my tree, my COTR tree up in our loft. I'll have to take some pictures of it, put it on my Instagram. We have a festival to go to, a little holiday festival to get us in the festive spirit. My daughter, again, with choir, is doing some singing. She is channeling her Macarena in show choir. Jazz hands. Yes, jazz hands. Yeah, she's channeling that this weekend in her choir. So we're going to be getting to the spirit
what
this
is
weekend.
She singing at?
She's singing at a like a community like winter festival thing.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I love that.
I know. It's crazy. I know. It's so
I cannot wait until she starts like being in show choir and then she's like performing in old folks' homes. That was always the best. Cause you have all these like precious old people in wheelchairs who are just clapping along and you just, oh my God, it's the greatest thing ever.
I mean, it's like one can only hope, right? So we'll see. So that'll get me in the Christmas spirit because so far I've just not been so much. I mean, I'm trying to get in the Christmas spirit, but I mean, have you seen this place? Yeah. So anyway, you guys, so I hope you guys are all doing festive things, getting in the spirit. And we hope you have a good weekend. Everybody bring it in. Bring it in.
Also, go dogs. Everybody root for the dogs this weekend. SEC championship game.
They're number one. They're totally going to win.
Well, it's Alabama. You just never know. It's, you know, it's very, very.
It's Georgia. They're going to win. It's no problem. It's in the bag. You guys, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.
The Women's Tennis Association pulls its events out of China. Stacey Abrams is running for governor again without admitting she lost last time. And the coverage of the Jussie Smollett and Ghislaine Maxwell trials are curiously quiet. I'm Greg Corumbus. Join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the 3 Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day, and hopefully a lot of laughs too. Join us for the 3 Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.